Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
Hey, it really takes courage to set out on a 580-mile walk. Man, you have to have passion, a purpose, and I think really good shoes, maybe even a few pair of really good shoes. Hey, question for you, how would you define courage? A long-distance walk is one thing. That's a kind of a big thing, 580 miles. But women who have been rescued from human trafficking and are fighting to live again need courage. I can't even imagine what that is like. And they need support and empowerment. Well, guess what? That's at the heart of the HER campaign. And today, we're talking with Brittany Higgs, CEO, founder of HER. And listen to this. Brittany is walking 580 miles from Billings, Montana to Denver. And we're catching up with her and her goat, Freedom, and her whole family. I don't know where she's at, but we'll find out. We're going to learn more today about the courage it takes to act and be engaged the way that Brittany Higgs is this morning on Voices of Montana. I am so excited for our guest today. Hey, Brittany, good morning to you. And the first question everybody has for you is, where the heck are you? So welcome to Voices of Montana. Get us up to speed a little bit about where you're at.
Yeah, good morning, Steve. So right now I am on the back highway between Laramie and Fort Collins.
Oh my God. I looked at your map and give me a little bit of purpose behind kind of taking those back roads, touching those small rural communities along your track. What was the thinking behind the map, the journey, the route that you were going to take?
Absolutely. So, you know, I think first and foremost, safety. Walking on the interstate just didn't sound fun. So we decided to take, the back routes. But I think it's really important that we come to rural communities and let them know that human trafficking hits every place of society, including our rural towns. So as we're walking these back roads, we are raising awareness to what is happening on these back highways and how our community can stand against it.
Yeah, that's really, really exciting. We were talking offline before we started a little bit of the details of your journey. I think our listeners would want to know, talk to us about how's it going? How you put in how many miles so far? And we know kind of you gave us an idea of where you're at. Give us a sense of this whole experience.
Yeah, so at this point, I've walked 430 miles, which is absolutely crazy to me. I honestly don't know how I've done that.
I don't either. That's amazing.
I know when I look at the numbers every day, I'm like, I can't believe I've actually done that. But you know, it's been easier in some respects than I thought it was going to be, and it's been more brutal in other respects. You hear that any sort of challenge like this is 80% mind and 20% physical, and I would agree wholeheartedly with that. It's been definitely more of a mental battle as I've done this walk than it has a physical one. And so I think, you know, fighting human trafficking, though, it is such a beast. It is a giant. And we have to be willing to do really hard things to be able to fight this. And so I feel like I've been on a personal journey of preparing my mind for the next step of the HER campaign and what we are coming up against. And so it's been difficult, but it also has been extremely rewarding and set a new fire and passion in my soul to do this work.
Oh, Brittany, thank you. You know, as I was reading a little bit about your background and the work that you're doing, the words that came to me were, what a calling. You have such a fantastic calling on your life. And you're putting action to that calling, which is really powerful. We're going to talk more about kind of the why. And as we dig into that, I want to touch a little bit on the lighter side of the journey. How's the family doing? How's Freedom the goat? Everybody doing okay? You guys are living in a little RV. What's that all about?
Yeah, so there's actually six of us in my family, and we are trekking in an old 1986 RV. We've had multiple breakdowns. My husband has been awesome putting new parts as we go along so we can keep heading down the road. But no, it's been an adventure. When you get six of you in a tight little space for 40 days, you grow to really appreciate each other in a new way, and you also have to duke it out. So I have four kids, ages 14, 12, 6, and 4, and there's been a lot of duking it out to come to level ground. So
I have a feeling that mom wins those battles 99% of the time, right?
That's right. That's right. Mama knows. She wins.
Mama knows. Hey, anybody out there in Voices of Montana Land have a new RV that maybe you want to donate to the cause? That it sounds like you might need one. Back to the heart of this work that you're doing, why you're walking. I was thinking as you were describing this being a mental journey, man, that's a lot of time for reflection. Talk to me about what have you discovered about maybe yourself, about the work that you're doing? If you could pinpoint one or two or three things that, man, this has really been a little bit of an epiphany for me. I just learned this about myself and what I'm doing. What would that be?
You know, I think first and foremost, I just keep going back to the fact that human trafficking is our second largest industry in the world. This is a giant that we are facing, and there is needed crucial strategy to be able to take this down. So as I'm walking, I'm really thinking about that, of like, if we are going to tackle this on a nationwide level, what is the strategy needed to do that? And her campaign focuses, you know, on the gap between rescue and freedom, making sure that survivors have a safe place to go. But we need to really look at this comprehensively from a prevention, aftercare, and, you know, standpoint. And so I think about that a lot on the road. Number two, I think for me personally, you know, a friend sent me a quote the other day that said, you can't go somewhere you've never been until you become a person you've never been. Mm. And so much of this journey has been leaving the last decade of what we've built in her campaign behind and really looking towards the future. This has been a brutal 10 years. You know, when you are fighting the second largest industry in the world, you're going to come up against a lot of stuff. And we really have. We have been through battles over the last 10 years as we have tried to pioneer this in Montana and provide a way for survivors. And I just know that I have to leave the pain in the past so that we can really step clearly into the future and fight this battle with new eyes, fresh vision. So that's been another thing that I really feel like has been equipping me. And then third, just personally, the women that come into our program have an incredibly difficult journey of healing before them. And this walk has really given me more insight of what suffering looks like. When you're doing something that is good for you, that is that healing journey, but it comes with hardships, trials, times when you want to give up and you just want to throw in the towel and say, I'm done. It has given me a lot more empathy for the women that go through our programs to understand the suffering of the journey of healing and how we can best come alongside of them. So I think those are the top three things that I'm learning while I'm doing this thing.
Brittany, thank you. That was very, very good. I'm wondering about the people who've encountered during your journey. Do some of them stand out for you? I know you've scheduled some meetings along the way. Maybe talk to us about the people you've encountered on your 430 miles so far.
Yes, you know, I think some of the most impactful things is we've had a few people reach out on social media. I've come in contact with a couple people on our journey through Wyoming that have shared their own stories of exploitation and just the thanks for bringing more awareness to this to the general public, trying to create this nationwide movement so that people truly understand. I think those are the stories that I live for, right? Those are the stories where it's like, this matters. And here is a tangible example right in front of us of why we need to keep doing this. And, you know, yeah, so I think first that's been huge. I will say that when I was walking through Montana, I had one person stop. In Wyoming, it has been, oh man, probably over 100 people have stopped on me.
Good for those Wyoming folks. Are they stopping to say, are you doing okay? Or they provide water? Or are they encouraging? Or are they saying, move your trailer over to the side of the road? Or what are they?
No, it's been to check on me. I've gotten multiple bottles of water. I've got people holding my hand and encouraging me. So I do have to say the Wyoming community, you have really showed up, and I appreciate it so much. And so, you know, actually multiple people we've met on the side of the road, we hand out our stickers, and we've gotten donations from the people that have stopped.
Oh, my gosh, that's great.
Yeah, so I so appreciate the communities in Wyoming. They really have been amazing.
That's fantastic. Hey, and I would encourage our Montana folks, hey, when Brittany comes back to Billings, boy, shower her with encouragement, donations, whatever else you've got to do to say, hey, Montana's in this too. That is absolutely fantastic. We're going to talk, we've got a break coming up here in just a couple of minutes, but we're going to talk with you in a little more depth about kind of the why did you get into this in, I think, 2016? What was that first spark? But before we go there, I know I want you to talk a little bit about who's on the journey with you. Your husband, Sammy, I think, is with you. Talk a little bit about that. Do you have any volunteers? A little more detail on who's making the trek with you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So throughout the journey, we have had, you know, people, partners, law enforcement, officials, you know, board members, people that have supported her campaign for a long time that have met me on the journey. As we get closer to Colorado, we have a lot of our Denver team members that are going to come and walk with me. And so it's been amazing, actually, to see how many people have rallied behind this and have come to support this crazy idea of walking from Billings to Denver. And so it's been amazing. And, you know, honestly, I have to give props to my husband because
Sammy,
he's the
right?
One, yep. Yeah, Sammy. He's been holding the RV down, taking care of the kids, working on rerouting when we need to reroute, you know, taking care of all the business needs while also working full time. So he's the true unsung hero in this challenge.
Sounds like Sammy needs water or maybe a beer on occasion from folks out there to give him some encouragement. That's absolutely for sure. I love the work that you're doing. As I learned a little bit more about it, as I hear your voice, Brittany, you just have such a passion that you've put behind this at the depth of your heart. You're expressing that with us today. Thank you so much. Thank you for the work that you do. And, you know, we're all sitting in our comfortable space. We have our home. We go to do our job. And this is just not on top of mind. We may hear about it in the national news, but it doesn't feel real to us because it's, you know, it's not something necessarily that is impacting us, but it's impacting real people in our own community. We just may not be aware of it. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. This really does touch every area of society. And, you know, the women that we serve, when they come to our programs and we hear that, you know, this was going on while I was showing up to my public junior high and high school. This was happening when I was going to youth group. Like, this is like they, you know, they're showing up to these places, not that the trafficking's happening there, but it's like us being aware as a community of what to look for and how we can come alongside of people that have been through this is important because it touches every area of society.
You're listening to Voices of Montana. I am Steve Arviscal. I am a guest host filling in for Tom this morning. Tom's gracious enough to let me stand in for him. He's up at the Governor's Cup hanging out with the bigwigs, I think. Todd O'Hare, the State Chamber of Commerce executive, maybe the governor, a lot of legislators. It's an important time for him to be connected up there. But this morning, we have the benefit of having a great conversation with Brittany Higgs, a co-founder and CEO of the HER campaign. Brittany is somewhere in Wyoming, about 430 miles into her 580-mile trek from Billings, Montana to Denver. And wow, what an accomplishment so far. Brittany, thank you for sharing those kind of lessons learned during this experience. I'm curious, Brittany, what's that daily routine look like for you? When do you get up? When do those shoes hit the pavement? When do you stop? What does that look like?
Absolutely. So I try to do 2 10-mile legs every day. That's kind of been the best rhythm I've found out. So I try to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, walk that first 10 miles before the heat of the day. And then I start around 5:36 in the evening and finish that last leg. But in the midst of the legs, go back to the RV, and Sammy and I are still working full time. So we've got a lot of meetings as we're working with our teams in Denver and Billings, making sure programs are up and running, going great. And then we've got our 4 kids with us as well. So it's juggling all of the keeping kids entertained, making sure this is a fun experience for them while working and also walking 20 miles a day.
Oh my gosh. So you're up at dawn and you're on the road, and then midday you're feeding people, little mouths, on Zoom calls, taking care of business. And then you're back on the road in the evening, which kind of makes sense when you think about it. You're catching the two ends of the better temperatures, and that really. So you, the last time we were on just a moment ago, you mentioned that RV has been giving you trouble. Just for safety's sake, maybe check in on your mile marker every once in a while so you can you can call in and let people know where to catch up to you. I had the opportunity to dive into a little bit of your website and some of the work that you do. And here's a statement that I pulled from your website. Your organization is dedicated to, and here's the quote, helping survivors of human trafficking heal, grow, and find purpose. Is that the essence of your mission? Talk to us more about that.
Absolutely. You know, that is at the heartbeat of what we're wanting for every survivor that comes through our doors. And, you know, at the HURT campaign, we know that without a safe place to go, survivors are often re-victimized. Mm. And so for us, we are providing the critical gap in aftercare that exists between rescue and freedom for each of those survivors, that they can come in and have the chance to heal, grow, and rediscover their purpose.
In organizations, I've run organizations, that's been part of my 30-year professional life. You have a mission and a vision, but I always talked about executing on the mission. So you have a mission statement, and then how do we execute it? What are the parts and pieces of that executing on that mission?
Absolutely. So, you know, for us, over the last 10 years, we've been on the ground level with survivors, really listening to them and being teachable underneath of the survivors we serve of what is the best thing that you need to come alongside of you right now. And alongside that, realizing that initial step out of trafficking, they're coming in with acute issues, acute mental illness, drug abuse, homelessness, all of the issues that plague society. A trafficking victim experiences all of that. And so that requires a comprehensive wraparound care that really can help to meet each survivor where she's at and help her heal, grow, and rediscover that purpose. So for us, we have 3 pillars of our program, and that is mental, physical, and spiritual. So we have a full professional team of clinical therapists and people that can come alongside of them mentally. We have a team of medical professionals. You know, we're working both in Denver and Billings to become licensed facilities. That is just going to create more infrastructure to make sure that these people have on-site medical people at their disposal to help with all of their vast needs. We also do integrative and functional health. So we do things like neurofeedback. That's evidence-based. That actually really helps with things like complex PTSD and trauma that has happened to the brain. So they're going through that. The body is so depleted when these survivors are coming in. So we do things like IV nutrition therapy and infrared treatments to come alongside of the body. And then we also know faith-based aspects are critical in the healing of these survivors. We are seeing that they are so hungry for that faith-based aspect. And most often, that is the foundation where true healing actually begins.
Yeah, I saw that on your, I described it as a program of care, and you had that articulated so well. I want to talk to you about why. Why? I looked at your background a little bit. You had background in film and marketing, and then something triggered this calling on your life. What? Talk to us quickly about that. Why? How did all this start for you?
Yeah. So, you know, honestly, I'm more of an entrepreneur. My husband, Sammy, and I are, and we were totally content with life. We had that film and marketing company, and we're happy doing that. And through that, I actually got connected with some NGOs that were needing documentaries done overseas in war-torn areas, specifically around the issue of human trafficking. And on one of those trips in 2015, we went over with a team of former special ops guys, military personnel, who were helping to reintegrate survivors, women and girls who had been trafficked through ISIS ranks after ISIS had hit Mosul in 2015. And so I went over there with this group of guys, and as we sat down with these survivors and heard their stories, the thing that broke my heart was listening to one of the survivors. She said, "Even though I'm back with my family, I wish I was dead because I have nothing left to give." Oh. And so even after the rescue, after someone is physically free, they are still in mental, spiritual, and emotional bondage. So my heart cry in that moment was, there has to be something after the rescue. And what is that? And truly, that is where her campaign was born.
So you sat with your husband and you looked eye to eye and said, "We can't not do something." I can visualize that conversation.
Yes, absolutely. I actually was sitting on my bed, bawling my eyes out after I got back from that trip. And I said, "Sammy, we have to start a safe house today." And he said, "Today?" And I said, "Yes, today." And he's like, "Well, let's get some steps in first."
Well, what an honor. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for letting me kind of pull you backwards a little bit. It's important for us to understand the why behind all this work and energy you're doing, this trek. I want to talk to you when we come back from, we got a break coming up here. When we come back, I want to talk to you about, do you think you're meeting the objectives of this walk? I know we've talked a little bit about that, but you wanted to raise some money, build awareness. So let's talk a little bit about that. And then you have this bold vision. And I would love you to describe that bold vision for us when we come back. And then if you've got other things you'd like to share, I also want to make sure that our listeners hear from you, an opportunity how they can get connected, if they want to make a donation, if they want to travel and bring you a case of water or help repair a flat tire, whatever that might be, how can they get connected with you? So we'll talk about that. We'll make sure when we finish with you today, they're armed with the information to get engaged with you so that this is just not a one-on-one conversation for us. So I feel like we've interrupted your regular schedule and your walk, and you're not able, you know, we've delayed things for you. So how's the rest of the day going to play out for you?
You know, today is actually a cool day outside, so I was able to start walking a little bit later. And so I'm on my 10-mile first leg trek at the moment, and so we're doing good.
And I am Steve Arviscal, filling in for Tom. Tom is out doing other important work for us this morning, and I feel so energized. I feel like I need to go on a long walk today, and because we're talking to Brittany Higgs, and she's on this 580-mile trek from Billings, Montana, to Denver, Colorado, to provide awareness for human trafficking and the impact it has in really every community across our country and across the world. Such an inspiration. Brittany, you've got 150 miles left on your journey. How are you feeling?
You know what? I'm actually feeling really good. The middle was hard when I was out in the wilderness for days and days in Wyoming. But now that I'm starting to see some trees and hills as we're headed towards Fort Collins, I got new wind in my sails.
Well, that's why those Wyoming people, as you mentioned, you know, those open prairies, they may not have trees and a lot going on, but the people will come out because they know what that's like. So it's good that they showed up for you when you needed them in the middle of nowhere, Wyoming, huh?
Absolutely. The community in Wyoming, I appreciate you more than I can say. You've been awesome.
That is awesome. You're doing this trek, as you explained to us, not just by yourself. You're your husband, your family, goats, supporters, people who are coming out and meeting you along the way. You've been doing this, really. You launched this in 2016. You're making a really significant difference, providing a safe place for women to recover and heal and grow in many dimensions of who they are so they can have a life that thrives beyond the impacts of human trafficking. But you have this grand vision for where you want to take this. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, you know, around the nation, there are only an estimated 2,500 beds specifically for survivors of sex trafficking as they exit human trafficking. And we know that without a safe place to go, survivors will be re-victimized. So our passion and our heart in her campaign is to provide that gap between rescue and true freedom. And what that looks like is expanding bed counts across the nation. So we started in Billings, Montana in 2016. We expanded this February down into Denver, Colorado. But we are taking this blueprint of emergency stabilization and long-term care across the nation where it is needed most.
So how do you make that happen? How do you develop partnerships? Who do you bring alongside you to help accomplish that broader vision?
Yeah, you know, I think in any sort of humanitarian work, we can tend to be really siloed, and we try to do with big vision, we try to do things on our own, right? And I think there's good heart behind that. But what we've realized at the HER campaign, and one of our core values is the heart of collaboration. And so, you know, Denver is an example of that. We partner with two other organizations on the same campus to really be able to come alongside of these survivors. And those strategic partnerships are crucial for us to be able to expand this across the nation. You know, and then I also just want to put emphasis that our donor base and the people who give generously to the HER campaign is truly the fuel that makes this run. And so, you know, I think a lot of times we can also focus on governmental funding. And as we know here recently, our government just cut our anti-human trafficking office by 71%. That was over so much of the federal funding and education awareness over human trafficking in the nation. So it is now our time as community members, as people of faith, to step in the gap and be able to become a safe place for survivors and to provide the resources for grassroots organizations like the HER campaign so we can continue to do this critical work.
Yeah, so when budget decisions are made and funding's gone, the issue doesn't disappear. I mean, the need doesn't disappear. So I love the way you've described that. We've got to step in. We've got to be the one to fill the gap to make it happen. And I know you don't do this by yourself. Talk to us a little bit about your team, your board of directors. You're organized as a 501c3, I assume, nonprofit. What does that team look like? Talk to us about that. And then you have a board. Help me understand the team behind this effort.
Yes. You know, the ecosystem of people that is needed to be able to have this run is so crucial. So outside of those strategic partnerships, we also have an incredible board of directors. You know, some of the people that are on our board are, you know, incredible businessmen. We have Stacy Zinn, who was the former agent in charge of the DEA over Montana, the first woman that actually held that office. She's on our board, which is critical because we know that drug trafficking is closely tied to sex trafficking. And so she's a huge voice and pillar on our board of directors. In Denver and Billings, we now have 45 staff members as a part of our team, and it requires a robust executive team that has had years and years, decades of experience in the nonprofit field that are coming on board to help us build the infrastructure needed to expand across the nation. And then, you know, we hire, like I said earlier, it takes such an incredible, diverse team of professionals from, you know, clinicians to therapists to nurses to doctors to be able to really provide the needs for these survivors. And that is what we have at our two locations.
Hey, talk to me a little bit. You and your husband were entrepreneurs in the past, working together. Now you're doing this together. That husband-wife partnership can be such a powerful tool to accomplish things like this. How's your husband doing? I mean, he's got a lot of nonprofit management experience, business experience, coupled with your creativity. Now, it seems like such a great team. Chat with me a little bit about what Sammy does on a day-to-day basis to keep you and the team going.
Yeah, you know, Sammy is the calm, cool, and collected to my passion, vision, and chaos.
Okay, that's so good. That's fair.
So we make a formidable team, absolutely. But no, he is such an amazing operations person, strategy. He just really holds things together. He's the glue that provides the structure around all of the programs, around all the vision, right? The vision that I cast, he's the one to take that and really provide the structure around it. And then we have an incredible team, a leadership team now. Truly, it's people that have, we have one guy on our team who started the second largest anti-human trafficking organization in the world. And he's on our team to help us build out the infrastructure because he sees what's happening in the HER campaign and how this needs to expand across the nation. So we really have a team to set us up for success and to see this go nationally.
That is great. And it takes a team to accomplish anything, but it also takes the passion of a leader, the vision, the tenacity, the attention to details. You're really kind of the, I hate to use this phrase, the point of the spear in kind of helping things lead. And now you're on this 580-mile walk. I want to see what the celebration looks like when you finish. And you're at your office or wherever you're going to finish this in Denver. You should do a video. You should post that. I'd love to see what, send that information back to us because that there's going to be a celebration at the end of this. We're going to be taking a break in just a second. And then when we come back, we're going to wrap things up with you, Brittany, because I want to get you back on the road, do the work that you're doing. It's such an important piece of work. But when you come back, I want you to tell us quickly what you want listeners to really understand about this issue and about the work that you're doing. And then we're going to give you a chance to tell them how they can get engaged. Well, what a powerful conversation we've had today with Brittany Higgs and the difficult, difficult topic of human trafficking and the impact it has on real lives, real people, and real communities all across our nation and the world. Brittany, thank you for leaning in. And meeting a need that is so important for so many. Talk to us about the specific fundraising campaign that you're wrapping up that's a part of this 580-mile trek.
Absolutely. So we are trying to raise $580,000. That's $1,000 for every mile. And this goes specifically to our programs in Montana. We have generous donors that have covered the full operational cost of our programs in Denver, which is phenomenal. But Montana, we need our community to stand in the gap for survivors and make sure that we can get to our finish line of $580,000. Right now in Montana, we are the only resource that is providing the crisis stabilization through long-term care for survivors of human trafficking and using it with all the professional and medical personnel. And so this is crucial in our state to have this resource, and we need your help.
So how can someone, if people are compelled to say, hey, I want to be a part of what Brittany's doing, how do they do that? What's the mechanism? Do they click on something, call something, help us out?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can visit our website, which is just hercampaign.org. And, you know, we have a page specifically for the Walk for Her. So that's hercampaign.org/walkforher. And there are opportunities of how your business can get involved, your church community can get involved, how you personally can get involved. We are looking for everybody to rally around Montana and for this cause. And so visit our website. You can follow us on social medias. We have daily updates of what life on the road actually looks like. And so join the journey with us. And we have strategic events that we do at different checkpoints. So you can find that information there. Come and visit us. Learn more. Talk to us about how you can get involved. And let's see this robust program really thrive in Montana.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture on your campaign website, and that's a picture of you walking. There's a pasture in the back. There's some white-faced cattle there and some pretty white houses. And so I know what you've said, that your journey didn't all look like that. But
no.
But boy, she is out there. She is walking. if this information has tugged on your heart, or you just feel a need, or maybe you know someone who has been impacted and you want to be a part of that, Brittany gave you information on how to get connected. Brittany, there's also a phone number for survivors. Talk to us about how someone might connect who has a need for your service.
Absolutely. And so if you are a survivor that is currently in need of a safe place to go, please reach out to us on a referral line, and our team can help you with your next steps.
Excellent. Brittany, thank you. You've got a lot of miles yet ahead. How many more? We delayed your morning walk, did we? How many more miles you got to put in today?
I think, you know, right now I've got 8 more miles, which we can do that.
Okay.
We can do that.
Yes, you absolutely can do that. Brittany, thank you. The whole team at the HURT campaign, thank you for the work that you're doing. Thank you, Brittany, for joining us on Voices of Montana this morning. Take care, step lightly, and just continue to do the great work that you're doing. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, I was so encouraged, Cody, by that, by Brittany spending some time with us. Really mm-hmm. good. And yeah. I would encourage our listeners, if you want to be a part of that, please connect. Just go online as Brittany had explained, and you can be a part of that. Hey, I've had the opportunity. Tom was so gracious to give me the mic for a couple of days. Cody,
he doesn't even give me the mic.
Well, I like to kind of, yes, I'll pull you in. I'll talk to him about that later, but I just want to thank him for letting me just kind of dive in here, and hopefully I've passed at least a little bit of a test. And he's invited me to come back next week, next Thursday and Friday on Voices of Montana. I'm in a host, and I'm excited about this, Cody. We're going to talk about retirement in Montana.
Oh.
Do Montanans really retire? Because we have that kind of mindset about always working. And now that I say that, you could argue that I retired 4 months ago. Now, what am I doing on the radio?
Yeah.
I'm working. And so we've got great guests. We're going to talk to Mary Craigle. She's one of the smartest people at the Department of Commerce. She's the bureau chief for all the research and data and economic information. She's going to talk to us about the demographics and economics around retirement in Montana.
Nice.
Is retirement in Montana possible? Is it affordable? When do people retire? How does it impact workforce? All that kind of thing. And then the next day on Friday, I've got Karen Gross coming in. She's an author from Montana. She wrote a book called What's Next? And we're going to talk to people and engage our listeners in a conversation about discovering your next when you retire. Now, if you're young enough, maybe you're not thinking about retirement, but I promise you it comes at you quicker than you might guess. And so hopefully you can join me for that program. Cody, I want to, you know, it's kind of, this guy just showed up, Steve Arviscal. Not everybody on the Voices of Montana family knows.
Who is he?
Yes, who is Steve Arviscal? And some of the Billings area folks know me. I had an opportunity to work in economic development here for almost 17 years, so they know me. But I came to Montana and actually in 1978, went to Montana Tech, was blessed to have a football scholarship, but I was more blessed to meet my wife at Montana Tech. She's from Anaconda. We got married right out of college in 1982. And then I went to work in broadcasting, believe it or not, at a radio station in Butte, Montana.
Nice.
And so here I find myself again in this environment. I've done a lot of work over the years, water resource development. I served in the Colorado legislature. I've done a lot of kind of things. And so I just wanted you to know a little bit more about me. And we'll talk more next week when I'm on the show. Thank you very much for being a part of Voices of Montana.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.